This is Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. In this episode, neurologist Brian McFalda takes a deep dive into the world of migraine headaches. And so, Dr. McFalda, thanks for joining us today. Let's start out by simply asking, what are migraine headaches?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Migraine is a neurologic condition that affects 12 to 15% of the population in general. It predominantly affects women more than men, and it's a headache, but it's more than a headache. It's headache with a variety of symptoms and a variety of presentations that can be from quite mild to quite severe overall. The symptoms may last anywhere from 4 to 72 hours if left untreated.
And so what is going on up in our brains when we're feeling this?
Sure. In the brain, there's an activation of nerve fibers within the blood vessels in that lining of the covering of the brain, and those become activated and cause the pain. How that happens or why that happens is a variety of reasons, a variety of pathways, and skipping a little forward to treatments, there is not one standard treatment, and the treatments involve a variety of pathways, which suggests there's multiple things going on when a person has a migraine.
And so discussing the multiple things going on, some of those things I'm sure are warning signs that tell us this is what's happening. And so what are some of the symptoms and warning signs that we're looking for?
Sure. So migraines can have warning signs. Those can be a prodrome, which may happen a day before the migraine. Those may include things like increase in yawning, increase in urination, increase in neck pain. People may have certain cravings for foods or drinks. Those types of warnings may not lead directly to the headache, but the headache may soon follow over the next 24 hours.
Dr. Brian McFalda from My Michigan Health is joining us today. And so, Doctor, some of the phases of a migraine, how does this progress throughout the 4 to 72 hours that you were discussing?
Yeah. So we talked about the prodrome. So some folks may have aura, but 25% of the folks have an aura. 75% don't. That aura may come hours to minutes before the migraine. That may be visual, which is the most common, where people may describe shining or shimmering lights or geometric shapes or sizes in their vision. They may also have a loss of vision. Other auras may also include numbness or tingling or pins and needles type sensation that somebody may have on their face or an extremity. Some people may have weakness. Some people may have some speech difficulty or some confusion. And again, those may be preceded hours to minutes before the actual headache comes, and then the headache comes. After the headache comes, people may have a post-phase or post-drome, and that may last for a day or so after the headache where people are just feel wiped out, fatigued, or still may have some level of confusion.
And so most people listening have probably felt a headache before. That differs from a migraine pain. And so what are most people feeling in a migraine phase then?
So in a migraine phase, migraine usually is more unilateral pain on one side of the face. It's usually, or one side of the head. It is usually unilateral and pulsatile or throbbing in quality. They usually experience some form of light or sound sensitivity, smell sensitivity, and they may even have nausea or vomiting that accompanies the headache. The other part is usually it becomes so disabling that a person cannot continue with their daily activities. And most of the people discuss that they have to go lay down.
And so before we talk about treating migraine headaches, let's figure out how to prevent them first. Are there ways to prevent this?
Yeah. So the first thing is what most people are switching to now is more lifestyle management. And the Mayo Clinic talks about a SEEDS acronym. So that really talks about the S stands for sleep. Getting good sleep. Most people recommend 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. The E is for eating. Eat well-balanced 3 meals a day. The E is for exercise. 3 to 5 days of exercise a week. D is really for a diary. And that's really to kind of track the migraines so that we can get a better idea of how often, how frequently they're happening, and is there particular timings or triggers. The last S is for stress management. And so that starts the treatment with preventative lifestyle changes. The other thing that we can do, depending on the severity and the frequency, that's really going to dictate how often somebody has to be treated. Migraine is really a clinical diagnosis. It's based off the presentation of the headaches, what the headaches are like, and the clinical history. we don't really do, or the primary care or a neurologist isn't going to do a workup in terms of laboratory studies or imaging studies for migraine. That is not needed in this scenario. Migraines vary in individuals. Some have them very infrequently, maybe only a couple times a year. Some people have them almost weekly. Somebody who has them very infrequently, you may have to do very little other than maybe some over-the-counter medications like Tylenol or Advil. If it's more frequent, then we need to start talking about whether somebody needs to be on a preventative medication or more of a rescue medication as well. And those preventative medications are different in terms of whether they're an oral medication, an injection, an infusion. And those could be maybe given even on a daily basis, or we have new infusions where they may be given every 3 months to prevent somebody having migraines. For the migraines that still come through, unfortunately, some people may need a rescue medication, and those medications are kind of taken as needed, and those are to kind of short circuit the migraine and make somebody get back on their feet a little bit quicker. There may be no stopping it, but it may be shorter overall in terms of the duration of the migraine. There's some alternative treatments. If somebody has neck pain in particular, which can be a trigger, we may prescribe physical therapy to work through that trigger. There's also holistic or alternative medicines avenues that someone can go down, aromatherapy, essential oils, acupuncture, massage therapy. These have all had some research done into them and can be somewhat beneficial in the treatment of migraines.
Dr. McFelder, we've discussed prevention of migraines, but there are certainly things in people's lives that probably trigger them in terms of stress or lack of sleep, lack of diet. What are some of the primary triggers that you see for folks who come in?
Sure. So the biggest thing, and it goes back to the difference between migraines, where women suffer migraines on a frequency of probably one out of every five women. Men suffer them on a frequency of one out of maybe every 16 men. Hormones is a big trigger for women. So around a woman's menstrual cycle, pregnancy, menopause, these are times when women may experience more or more frequent migraines. Weather is a big trigger as well. A lot of my patients are great weather predictors. They can tell when a storm is coming in. Those changes in barometric pressure tend to be big triggers for migraines. Stress, which goes to the stress management. Eating certain foods can be a trigger, which is sometimes a little bit tricky to tease out in patients, but unfortunately, aged meats, processed meats, aged cheeses, certain types of breads, these can all be triggers. Alcohol, red wine in particular, seems to be a trigger for some individuals, but alcohol in general can be a trigger. Excessive caffeine can be a trigger. Sleep issues, not sleeping or getting too much sleep sometimes can be a trigger. Certain odors, unfortunately, strong smells, but certain even perfumes or can trigger a headache. The heat, certain lights, fluorescent lights can be a trigger for people as well. And then upper extremity discomfort, pain, or injury can cause migraines.
When you initially mentioned there the statistical difference between men and women suffering from migraines, what are some of the other triggers that change between the two genders?
The rest are usually the same. It's really the hormones that tend to make the biggest difference. Age tends to make a little bit of a difference as we age as well. But even children can be affected by this. And there likely is a genetic component to migraines. And so the unfortunate part of children who are children of migraine sufferers probably are at 50% risk of having migraines. So that equates to about one out of every 10 children likely, or one out of every 10 child usually has migraines.
And so as a neurologist at My Michigan Health, if folks are experiencing these issues with migraines, what do you suggest is the next step for them?
Yeah, they definitely need to be evaluated by their primary care, who can certainly get them started on a treatment. But if that treatment is not working for them, or they're continuing to have headaches or migraines despite that, then they probably need to see a dedicated neurologist or headache specialist.
Again, a special thank you to Dr. Brian McFelder on this edition of Health Dose, a podcast from My Michigan Health focusing on different issues related to your health. As always, if you have health concerns, you should check in with your primary care provider. If you need help finding a primary care provider, go to mymichigan.org/doctors.